In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly King, Consoler, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. We're going to look now at the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. I thought it was a good occasion to reflect. We're now in Ordinary Time, which means Sunday is not a big feast day, and it has become eclipsed by many other things. So I'm going to offer this reflection, a lot of it based on Dies Domini by John Paul II, to give you thoughts that might help you help your people. I want to start with the idea about time. See, the church is not in time. Time is in the church. That is, the church measures time. Now, this begins in Genesis, where that seventh day, God rested, he saw how good everything was, and that's the Shabbat, as you know. Now, we're going to see how Shabbat moves over to Sunday without ever losing its own character. The body of Christ, therefore, you see, is the norm of time. And that's why we use time to celebrate the mysteries of Christ, the feast days, and so forth. But actually, mostly the Sundays. Most Catholics go to Mass for the big feast days. Many go on the Sundays. Others go only once in a while. And this, as we're going to talk about, is really a great pastoral problem that won't be solved by fulminating. You see, time is used to make the mysteries of Christ present to us. And the mystery of Christ, or a mystery of Christ, is an action. A theandric, that is, a God-man action done in time. Now, what's the meaning of it, you see? There's a hidden meaning, or a deeper meaning, to every action. I think I've given you this example before, but it might be worth giving it again. If you and I are at a cocktail party, I don't know what we're doing there, but we're there, and I said, did you see that? Smith just walked across the room and shook hands with Jones, and Jones took both Smith's hands in his own and smiled back. You say, all right, so what? Then I say, Smith and Jones have been enemies for 12 years. Now you see there's a deeper inner reality to that gesture. All the Lord's gestures have a deeper inner meaning because they're coming from the very Logos of God. So to bring those things present is the way the church uses time. Now Sunday is the affirmation of the transformed life to which we are called by the resurrection. It is also the day in which the community gathers to be built up by the Word and the Eucharist. Now, it's a rare parish that doesn't have many gaps, that is, much that could be going on, that isn't going on among the faithful. The reason for this is, it's not quite grasped that time is a work of God and that He legislates how it should be used, which is what we examine our conscience on every day, I hope. But here, the body of Christ coming together to celebrate the resurrection. You know, as I'm going to read later on, The Christians were delighted to do this. Okay. It's also a meeting with Christ. Every one of us. This is a quote from Dies Domini number 7. The duty to keep Sunday holy, especially by sharing in the Eucharist and by relaxing in a spirit of Christian joy and fraternity, is easily understood if we consider the many different aspects of this day. Now, therefore, holy doesn't mean awkward. It means spontaneous. You know, to love God, to praise God, to be with your family, to build up the family, and as I'll mention, to take care of the poor. So nowadays, of course, in the days of the church, this is a commemoration of the resurrection, which is the day after Shabbat. Our Lord already said about himself that the Son of Man is Lord of the Shabbat. Now, devout Jews have trouble with that because they love the Sabbath so much. Who is this person to say that he can contravene what God told us to do? Beautifully said in Neusner's book. In other words, he sees and takes seriously the claims of Jesus. We're too used to the words sometimes. And so, basically, Sunday is an Easter celebration. But already at the dawn of creation, therefore, the plan of God implied Christ's cosmic mission, because through him, everything was made. And without him, nothing was made. What was made in him was light. We've looked at that text at Christmas time, right? So this challenge of a non-transcendent view of reality confronts Christians every Shabbat, every Sabbath, every day of every Lord's Day. Because the society is going, all the shops are open, soccer leagues have their games on Sunday in the morning. How does a Christian live as part of this society and yet be different? This is a deep question, of course, and it includes more than Sabbath. But, you see, what we're looking at in our own time is a philosophical attempt to eliminate any transcendence. For those of you who get that magazine First Things, there's a good article on this, how those who claim that philosophy is dead are actually using philosophy to prove their point. See, a totally immanent view of creation is motivated in all of us by the desire to know, that is, to determine good and evil. You see, you can do what you want and you can say whether it's good or evil. Classic case in our culture is abortion. You can decide and you can declare whether it's good or evil. Now, some of the ideas, aspects of Shabbat, Sabbath, Lord's Day, is remembering. Do this in memory of me. Memory is that act by which the acts of God are so present to us that we're different. That means, you know, the Lord tells us in the Bible sometimes, shakachta, you forgot. It doesn't mean it slipped our minds. It means it has no effect on our lives. And so, coming together and remembering is one way we honor the Sabbath. Now, the early Christians met on the Sabbath. I'm sorry, they met on the Lord's Day. And they celebrated the resurrection. Now, culturally, there was no 7-day week in those days. It was kind of amorphous. For them to regularly keep every Sunday, they had to get up before dawn and have their liturgy out on the mountains and then come in and go to work. But they kept the Shabbat. Huh? Same thing happened at the French Revolution, to do away with Sabbath. Okay. Now, I just want to go over some points, and I'll cover the rest of this some other time, I think. You see, there was a growing distinction between Sabbath. Remember, all the early Christians were Jews and observed the Sabbath, and the Lord's Day. The presence of the risen Lord, the fountainhead of the church's life. It's not only the day of the Lord, it's the day of the church. And there are two tables at which we feast this day, the table of the Word and the table of the Sacrament. Now I want to read this beautiful text from Justin Martyr, a second century father of the church. And we afterwards continually remind each other of these things. In the paragraph before, he's been reading the memoirs, he's talking about reading the memoirs of the apostles, that is, the Gospels. And the wealthy among us help the needy. And we always keep together, and for all things wherewith we are supplied, we bless the Maker of all through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. And on the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in the country gather together to one place, and the memoirs of the apostles, which is the same thing, or the writings of the prophets are read, as long as time permits. Then when the reader has ceased, the president verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things. Then we all rise together and pray. And as we said before, when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought out. And the president in like manner offers prayers and thanksgivings according to his ability. And the people assent, saying amen. And there is a distribution to each and a participation of that over which thanks have been given, Eucharistia. Who are absent, and those who are absent receive a portion sent by the deacons. Now, in the few minutes I have, I want to give you some ideas of how this was looked upon. In the Maronite liturgy, blessed be he who has raised the great day of Sunday above all other days. The heavens and the earth, angels and of men, give themselves over to joy. Another one from the Didascalia. On the first day of the week, you shall all rejoice. And this wonderful one by St. Ambrose. Thanks to God who accomplished a work in which he might find rest. He made the heavens, but I do not read that he found rest there. He made the stars, the moon, the sun, and neither do I read that he found rest in them. I read instead that he made man, and that then he rested, finding in man one to whom he could offer forgiveness. We'll pick up the rest of this in another week. I'm trying to supply you with thoughts to help tell the people about Sunday.